This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour solar flare fiesta. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Philadelphia to Philadelphia, Mississippi to Pennsylvania, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A., everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How we doing, everybody? Appreciate you dropping on by, carving out some time for us, spending your morning here aboard the DA.
Aw, the DA. I love the DA.
Lots to get to this morning on the show. The great Pete Thamel, college basketball writer, Yahoo Sports, will join us from San Antonio this morning. He'll join us in the third hour of the show. It's a Trash Tuesday, and so coming up next hour, we will take out your trashes. So much trashiness on this show over the last 48 hours. I can't even explain how much trash we need to take out this morning. Also, why is Jim Mora still going after Josh Rosen? We will unveil the final standings of one spicy moment.
Puffiness with sodium.
And why is Tiger still embroiled in sex scandals? All of that is coming up this morning here on the show and complete coverage of last night's national championship game. As always, you want to jump in on any of those topics, including Villanova's historic win and historic run to yet another national title. Hit us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS, and watch the show and the digital simulcast by going to watchda.com. Philadelphia. Wow. City of champions. Philadelphia. 2 years ago, April 2016, the Villanova Wildcats cut down the nets. Their first national championship since 1985. The first championship in a major sport in Philadelphia since the Philadelphia Phillies in 2008. Villanova in 2016 had to overcome the idea that Jay Wright choked in the tournament. There were so many really good Wildcats teams that did not get out of the first weekend. The idea was everybody loves Jay Wright. He's a nice guy. He's grounded, dresses well, but comes up small in March. 2 years ago, April 2016, the Wildcats cut down the nets on a dramatic buzzer beater by Chris Jenkins to knock off the UNC Tar Heels in the championship game. And that was a wow moment. Philadelphia had a championship. Villanova had a championship. Fast forward to February, 2 months ago, the Philadelphia Eagles, against all odds, defeating the dynasty New England Patriots with their backup quarterback, Nick Foles, in the Super Bowl. Wow. And now, last night, the city of Philadelphia, the Illadel, is now the city of champions. And watch out, boys and girls, because the Sixers are coming, and the Flyers are coming, and the Philly, Gabe Kapler, well, maybe not the Phillies, but this is a town right now that is getting really used to celebrating. And you thought the last decade of the Boston being good was bad. Oh, you haven't seen anything yet. You haven't seen anything yet, boys and girls. Villanova won both of its games in the Final Four by more than 16 points. They won all six of their games in the tournament by double digits. The closest anybody came to even giving them a game was West Virginia, led at the 10-minute mark of the second half. Ended up after that, all Wildcats all the time, drubbed the Mountaineers by double digits. When was the last time we saw dominance like that? It's where we begin. It's your cold open.
DiVincenzo, three on the left wing. Good again! He had two Wolverines in his face, and he did not. 62-44, Villanova with the lead. Timeout, Michigan. DiVincenzo walking it up. 5 seconds, 4 seconds, that's going to do it. Michigan ran into a supernova tonight for the second time in 3 years. Nova is number one.
I did not think that I was going to have this kind of night, because every night I come into the game, I just try to bring energy. And if we start off, we get off to a good start, I try to take that energy to a new level. I try to defend and I try to rebound to best my ability and just trying to get it going. And like I said, these guys did a great job of just finding me, and I found myself in the rhythm.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
Kevin Kugler, Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network. That was the man of the hour, the star of the night, Dante DiVincenzo, 31 points. And in terms of Villanova's dominance, that was one of the most impressive runs I have ever witnessed in the NCAA tournament, because they were never scared. They were never spooked. They were never on the mat. Like I said, West Virginia led to the 10-minute mark of the second half. There was still a quarter of the game to go. And even then, the Wildcats were not rattled. Figured out a way to pull ahead. Got stops. Made shots. Ended up pulling away victoriously. I think you have to go back to perhaps the second Florida championship 10 years ago, when Billy Donovan's Gators went back-to-back, maybe even to that Duke team of 2001, you have to look far and wide. It's at least been since the Kentucky team with Anthony Davis in 2012, since we've seen that type of wire-to-wire dominance. And here's what I would say about Villanova, which is why I was talking so glowingly about them yesterday and even going into the weekend on Friday. It's because Villanova proved over the first four games that they played the tournament that they can beat you a million different ways. And I'll be the first to admit, I did not have them dancing far in the bracket, because I looked at Villanova 2 years ago going to the national championship game and winning, and their long history of not getting out of the early round of the tournament outside of that run. And I thought they might get bit again, because they did show, even in the Big East, that they could be vulnerable. But what they showed when it mattered most was They were simply more balanced. They were more well-rounded. They were better coached. And they had more ways to beat you than anybody else in the tournament. And in a March that didn't make much sense at all, in a March, in a tournament, in a bracket where weird stuff happened from start to finish, Villanova was the constant. They were great. Not good, great. So much of that is Jay Wright. So much of that is what he has built. Do you realize Villanova hasn't lost back-to-back games in more than 5 years? They haven't lost back-to-back games in more than 5 years. Jay Wright, last night, that was his greatest accomplishment. Jay Wright and that team show that even if Jalen Brunson was in foul trouble, DiVincenzo could step in and light the world on fire, that they had multiple ways stylistically to beat you. Note that in that first half, the three wasn't falling, and Michigan grabbed the lead, and the Wolverines looked like they could hang, and all you knew was if Villanova can hang around without hitting a three, Michigan is dead. Dead. Because eventually they will hit, and they did. By the time late first half, second half rolled around, the threes were dropping, and you just knew the barrage was coming. This Villanova performance was as impressive as you can possibly be in a tournament that was defined by upheaval and upsets. I mean, an entire side of the bracket, an entire region, had none of the top five seeds get to the Final Four. Even more than that, total destruction. And I don't want to keep hammering the same point home, but this is why I scoffed when I heard analysts, even on this show, say that Loyola Chicago could cut down the nets on Monday. I knew Loyola Chicago did not stand a chance against this Villanova team. I knew that they would lose to Michigan, but even if they pulled off a miracle against Michigan, I knew there was no way they were going to keep up with this Wildcats team. Villanova, at every juncture of this tournament, proved it was the singular dominant team from every standpoint in the tournament and are well-deserving of their place in history. Jay Wright has completely changed the program around, and you now have to put Villanova on the same tier as Duke and North Carolina and Kansas and other schools that compete for Final Fours and national championships and are the darling blue bloods, Kentucky, of the entire nation. Villanova has always been a small private school, unlike North Carolina, unlike Kentucky, unlike Kansas. And now you've got to put Villanova amongst those blue bloods because that is an elite program that from here on out for the foreseeable future will compete for Final Fours every year. An incredible, incredible growth out of that program. And what a night. A true crowning achievement. And the city of Philadelphia rises again, celebrates again, and greases up all of those streetlights with Crisco again. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, can somebody please tell me,
she's a bad girl, Damon.
Why is Tiger Woods still in relationships? Another scandal on the eve of the Masters. Next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Are the glitch in the simulation.
What kind of pot?
A crock pot.
No, I don't believe I know what kind of pot that is.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The only man ever to not know what a crock pot is. The great Torg Bellinger. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can catch us on satellite radio if your local affiliate doesn't carry us. Perhaps you're traveling, you're on the road. That's okay. Sirius XM 206 is where you can listen SiriusXM 206 carries the DA show in full form every single day, 9 until noon Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio, also the rest of the network as well.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Coming up, the final standings of One Spicy Moment and a man of the people here on the DA show takes his bows and will receive his gift basket, which I would also have to imagine is what Tiger Woods hands his mistresses. However, he's not doing a good enough job because here we are on the week of the Masters. Tiger is suddenly one of the favorites to win this major and take Augusta and the green jacket, and another scandal breaks out. TMZ reports his ex-girlfriend, Kristen Smith, believed that Tiger cheated on her last year, and that's what ended their relationship. Tiger has said on record they're no longer together. To save himself from another embarrassing sex-fueled PR nightmare, Tiger offered her money to sign a non-disclosure agreement, which she did. But now something's changed. Again, this is the report from TMZ. And she is trying to invalidate the NDA, claiming it's not enforceable. Their sources say that she claims Tiger has threatened to release embarrassing pictures of her if she doesn't honor the NDA, and the situation has escalated enough to get lawyers involved.
She's a bad girl, David.
Okay, now I'm one of these guys that does not believe suddenly Tiger is going to take the green jacket. I think there is a lot of Tiger footy pajama fanboys out there that live and work in our media that desperately want Tiger to be good again because it reminds them of some type of youth, or it reminds them of some type of yesteryear, or there's a nostalgia attached to it, or something about it, to where there is so many members of the mainstream media that cannot get over the fact that Tiger's not good anymore. And I know he's had a little bit of a pseudo-renaissance, but do it in a major. I'm sorry. Doing it on tours named after paint products isn't going to get my juices flowing. But people want him to be there because apparently Rory and Jordan and others just don't do it the same way that Tiger did it. And everybody's still hanging on by a thread to, oh my God, we want Tiger to be back. I'm not buying it. But either way, can I ask this very obvious question? Tiger had a marriage, had a wife, had kids, and decided to frolic with anything with a wig on. Anything with long enough hair, anything with long enough legs, anything with long enough anything, he was willing to sashay with, let's say. All comers, what do you do? What's your occupation? What's your ethnicity? What's your age? I don't care. We are a inclusive club here. So Tiger's involved in a marriage with a family and says, I want you and I want you and I want you, I want you. No discretion whatsoever. None whatsoever. Claims he's a sex addict. Well, isn't that convenient? I can't help it. I really like sex. Oh, huh. What an interesting and unique character flaw that is. Man, that's going to be really tough. You like sex, a lot of different people? Huh. That is so unique and perfectly convenient for your excuse right now. I'm addicted. Uh-huh, sure you are. So here we are. His life blows up. He is at the center of the biggest sports sex scandal ever. Mistresses come out of the woodwork. Denny's waitresses talk about their nights with him. Porn stars, strippers, everybody. I was with Tiger. I was with Tiger. I was with Tiger. Here is a man that obviously did not need to be in an exclusive relationship. Am I right? This is a man that wanted the facade of family, the facade of the wedding, the facade of the marriage, but didn't really want it. Okay. So now he goes through this whole thing. It tears up his life. He's no longer good at golf. He's become a punchline in every late night talk show. He's banged up. He's a broken form of himself. And he's only now starting to kind of get it back. And Tiger Woods decides to be in another relationship. And if this report is true, decides to cheat on that girlfriend again? To the point where he's now got to get her to sign a non-disclosure agreement? If you're Tiger, why are you even bothering with some semblance of an exclusive relationship? How have you not learned your lesson? Tiger can simply, he's still got girls that can date him or want to date him, apparently, Lindsey Vonn and now this chick and others. Why would he ever go, yeah, you know what, we'll be exclusive? Just go, hey, you might know my history. Why don't we just keep this loose? Why don't we just keep this non-exclusive, huh? Just to save us all the headache. Why would you ever, if you're Tiger Woods, walk down that road again if you are not completely convinced this is it, this is the one for me? Clearly, he has proven time and time again that that's not his lifestyle. What's he doing? I mean, there is a man that will never learn. There is a man that is totally delusional. There is a man that thinks he is something he is not. The moment exclusivity in a one-person relationship with Tiger comes up, both parties should go, nah, you know what? That's a bad idea. You know what? I don't think we should do that. Nah, you know what? Let me just keep this thing loosey-goosey, okay? I mean, Mraz, what is the worst decision by Tiger? Is it getting into an exclusive relationship? Or is it then trying to blackmail this chick if she doesn't agree to the NDA? Neither one of these are good ideas.
The worst still has to be the blackmail, because once you've gone down this road again with the relationship, you have to now own it. You can't all of a sudden have her sign a non-disclosure, and when she wants to bail, go, well, look, I have all these photos of you. Come on. But they're both equally, they're not equally, they're both bad decisions. You can't blackmail, though, after the fact.
So you feel like the blackmail's the real...
It's worse.
The icing on the
cake. You do something, you have to own it this day and age.
You would know that better than anybody.
Of course. You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Speaking of which, we'll get to Trash Tuesday coming up here next hour, and I think that might be a topic. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. The only good thing we can say is when he was embroiled in controversies behind the scenes, apparently, when he had multiple relationships with multiple women, that's when he was at his most dominant golf-wise. Maybe this means that he'll just take off at the Masters this week. Then again, once he hit that fire hydrant, it went to hell in a handbasket. And I just don't hold my breath that it'll ever come back for Tiger, even though so many other people do. When we return, your best audio of the day, including John Beilein following last night's loss and Jim Mora Jr. with another questionable commentary on Josh Rosen. All of that is coming up. Plus, we'll jump back into your phone calls. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Aeneas Williams joining us.
Should I call you Damon or DA?
You're the Hall of Famer, so I'm going to let you decide what you want to call me.
I'll call you Damon.
All right, I appreciate that. My mom would appreciate that as well.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us. Remember, full episodes available on iTunes. If you ever miss anything or want to hear it again, listen to us on iTunes. It's DA On Demand. Also, you can listen to full episodes of the show on our brand new website, daoncbs.com. It's revamped, it's refurbished, it's reconstructed, and it looks really great. And you can listen to whatever you want to listen to in terms of the show and things you may have missed or want to hear again at daoncbs.com. And CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Daniel tweets, DA, so what if Tiger wants to sleep around on his ladies? Why does it even matter? Is it going to affect him on the course? If he finishes in the top 10, three shots back, this all goes away. Bill Clinton did get this kind of run for his late-night escapades in the Oval Office. What? Maybe you missed 1997 through 1999. Maybe you missed 1992 through 1999. Maybe you still are missing late night, because Bill Clinton's Oval Office escapades was the only thing late night talk show hosts talk about during that era, and still have talked about, and certainly did throughout the course of his presidency, known as a ladies' man. My whole point about Tiger is, number one, clearly when he smashed into that fire hydrant and his personal life became exposed, he became a shell of his former self. Now, part of that is physical. I think part of that is mental. But number two, Tiger has humiliated himself and his family by living a fraudulent second life. Why would you go down that road again? Which is what TMZ is reporting. That he's again embroiled in another scandal where there's a non-disclosure agreement, his former girlfriend he cheated on, he's trying to blackmail her, lawyers have gotten involved, she's threatening to talk about it. Why would you put yourself in those crosshairs again? He's got to be the stupidest man in America. You know, you have a choice about whether or not you want to be involved in an exclusive relationship. You do have that choice. He's already gone through hell and back. Why would you ever go down that road again if you didn't think you could uphold it? If the report is true. Mike is next up in Tampa, listening on 104.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, DA. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Well, DA, first of all, I want to start off by saying, man, I think you're one of the best sports talk radio hosts in America. I've never missed your show. Even when I'm working, I take time to listen to some of your show.
Well, that's very kind of you.
I put you above Tiki and Tyranny, Rome, and all the rest of them.
They're all fantastic, and I appreciate that very much.
I'm sure you do. Now let me get to the point that I wanted to get to.
Yeah.
D.A., you must have a daughter, because something about Tiger Woods just rubs you the wrong way, man. And in a lot of the comments you make, I got to agree with. Tiger should never be in a one-on-one relationship with no woman, because it's never going to work. But I just had to say, that guy just rubs you the wrong way. And I think you're one of the most impartial guys that I've ever heard. But when it comes to Tiger Woods, you just don't like the guy. You know, you got to admit it. You just don't like the guy. And I think Tiger's game is starting to come around again, but he'll never be what he used to be. And that's all I really had to say, D.A. I'm going to get off the air now and just listen to your comments.
All right, buddy. Thank you, Mike, and I appreciate the kind words again. I don't have anything against Tiger. To me, though, I see a media that is still in love with what Tiger used to be, desperately clinging to that. You know, it's probably a little bit like me hoping that Peyton Manning by the end still showed old Peyton Manning, because I loved watching him in his prime so much. And that final year with Denver, even the year before, and people said he's washed, it's over, his arm is shot. I kept saying, nah, you know what? He's Peyton Manning. So it's probably like that for so many other people. I just see, certainly in the media, this kind of never-ending desire to see Tiger back. And I go, guys, get realistic. It's not happening. Just like you said, Mike, he ain't ever going to be that guy again. So stop waiting on a star. I've got nothing personal against Tiger. My whole point is, people that don't learn from their own mistakes are dopes. We all make mistakes. I certainly have made my fair share. But I try to always learn, especially from the big ones. People that make the same mistake over and over again, to me, are the most annoying people on earth. The universe has shown you your mistake. You made a boo-boo. It blew up in your face. You lost something. And now, you're supposed to take that and learn from it. If you keep making the same mistake, that is so on you. And this is the Tiger effect. If he is still in the middle of broken, busted, scandalous relationships that he needs to cover up with blackmail and non-disclosure agreements and lawyers, that's on him at this point. And I just got to say, man, you're a bozo. How could you not learn already? 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. All right, guys, best time for your best audio. It's Soundcheck.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
How about Edwin Encarnacion, known as one of the slowest players in baseball? Hits an inside-the-park home run last night and... save!
Encarnacion with a high drive, deep left field. Down the line it goes into the corner. It is a fair ball and hit off the wall, not the pole. Encarnacion around second on his way to third. Ball still in the warning track. He's being waved home. There will be no throw to the plate. Edwin Encarnacion says, yes, indeed. You'll see something you've never seen before. That's me with an inside-the-park home run.
That's me. Tom Hamilton, Indians Radio on the call. That's me.
That's me.
I do love baseball for that dynamic, that when you go to the ballpark, you just never know what you're going to see. You just may see something that you never thought you'd see, and then 20 years later, you go, you know, I was at that game. Do you remember when Edwin Encarnacion, who couldn't run, actually ended up having the inside the park home run? I was at that game.
That's me!
Remember 25 years ago where the big ball of lard Bartolo Colon hit a home run and he never could hit a home run? I was at that game.
That's me!
Remember that game where all those little bugs came out and they started getting all over Jabba Chamberlain, all the midges? I was at that game.
That's me!
I don't know if I've ever been at a game I would say I was at that game. The closest thing I can come to was in 1996, the New York Mets celebrated Mookie Wilson Day. And by virtue of Mookie Wilson's honoring, it was $1 hot dogs, $1 mini sodas, $1 peanuts. And me and my buddies in high school, we attempted to go a hot dog an inning. You had to eat one hot dog every inning. Full inning, not half inning. I made it to the seventh. My buddy Pete made it to the eighth, so he won. I was second to last man standing. A lot of people bailed in the fifth. Five hot dogs, five innings can be tough. Pushing to sixth, that was very solid. I got to the seventh inning. I had to wave off in the eighth. Pete got to the eighth, but nobody made it to the ninth. That's the last time I could say, that's me!
That's me!
John Beilein, Michigan head coach, last night after the loss to Villanova.
I'm so proud of our kids. We didn't play in some areas well, and we didn't make some shots that we usually make. But we got to put a lot of credit to Villanova, Jay Wright, his whole staff. In one day, they did a great job of getting ready for us. And we needed to play better, but even if we had played our best, it would have been very difficult to win that game with what DiVincenzo did. It was an incredible performance.
That says a lot right there. And I love John Beilein. I think he's an excellent head coach. But Beilein summarized it perfectly. Even had we played our best, it would have been tough to beat them. So think about that. Had Michigan played their absolute best basketball, they still probably lose by 6 or 7 points. That's how thoroughly dominant, that's how powerful, that's how good last night Villanova was. And finally, Jim Mora Jr. on NFL Network discussing the comment that he told MMQB and Peter King's micro site for Sports Illustrated that Josh Rosen will be difficult to coach because he's a millennial.
You know what? Being a young man that needs to be intellectually challenged is a positive. That says that he is very, very smart and he wants to understand the game. Saying that he wants to understand why he's doing things speaks to his engagement, his willingness to really embrace what you're asking him to do so that he can do it at a higher level. So I think that around draft, like you guys said, it's always fun, the speculation, how words are switched around, how comments are lopped off. But, you know, I stand by what I said. This is a great young man who's going to be a great player.
More on those comments. Mora told SI, if you could hold his concentration level and focus only on football for a few years, he will set the world on fire. He needs to be challenged intellectually so he doesn't get bored. He's a millennial. He wants to know why. Millennials, once they know why, they're good. Josh has a lot of interests in life. It just seems like Jim Mora keeps going out of his way to keep pointing out that Josh Rosen isn't completely committed to football or might be too smart for football, or you might have a malcontent on your hands, or he might not be coachable, or he might not fall into line. And I'll discuss this in greater detail coming up in about a half hour from now. But I'll tell you what I think the root is that Jim Mora got fired this year. I think Josh Rosen was supposed to come into UCLA and deliver a Pac-12 championship. And I think that because they didn't do brilliant things together, Jim Mora feels like he got left back and he lost a job because he didn't get more out of Josh Rosen. I think he's frustrated by it. He's now out of a job. He's now an analyst. And I think if he's still the head coach at UCLA, you don't hear any of this type of talk about Josh Rosen anywhere close to questioning his commitment to football. That's your sound check. Well, you guys know we here on the DA show can't just do anything normally, blandly, boringly. We have to always, as they say, spice it up. And so this year we held a bracket challenge. We invited you, the listeners, to engage with us. And for us here within the studio walls, whoever had the worst bracket would have to eat a scoop of Pepper Palace's Death by Salsa, labeled as the hottest salsa on the planet. The brackets are now in. The tournament is now over. And a congratulations needs to go out to Pete the Body Bellotti.
That's me!
Pete the Body Bellotti not only was the best in our in-studio on-air staff, he won the whole bracket.
Wow.
Out of all of the listers as well. Pete the Body Bellotti had Villanova winning the national championship, and he takes home the best bracket. Pete, did you enter into the big office pool here at CBS?
Well, of course not.
Oh.
The year I don't.
Because you probably would have taken home the prize.
Would have won. Vendor money right there.
Vendor money. So that means I'm going to eat the salsa, and Pete the Body Bellotti gets the prize pack that I have put together, and I will bequeath upon him coming up the next segment. That also means we go over to the women's bracket. Pete the Body Bellotti is immune from eating the salsa. We had a women's bracket. If you finished in last in both, you had to eat a quarter of this jar. I did not. I came in second to Andrew Bogish. And Bogish wins the women's.
The harder of the two, if we're being honest. So thank you, DA.
I would also say, though, that we can't give you too much credit because you did not get the national champion correctly. You chose UConn like the rest of us.
Yes, but I had Mississippi State in the final, unlike at least you. But anyway.
And so you now get to choose who is going to eat salsa with me. It could be Mraz.
Mm-hmm.
It could be Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com.
Could be.
It could be Jacob Wilkins, the voice of the Chicken Challenge.
On the table.
It could be Robbie Rosenhaus, a.k.a. The House. or it could be me twice. Right. I would have to eat two bites of hot salsa. So, who are you choosing?
It is not you, nor is it Jacob or Mr. Kaplan. I wish I was mean enough and had the ability to make it Pete, because wouldn't that be just grand after to take away one of the few positives from Pete to make him eat the salsa? Although he did say that because he is Spanish, he could handle it. So it comes down to Shawnee and Robbie.
Okay.
And while I don't want to make an enemy of Robbie Rosenhaus.
Uh-huh.
I don't see him enough or at all. So it's going to have to be friendship and keep Sean in safety and let Robbie, the relative stranger to me around CBS Sports Radio, it's a scoop of salsa for Robbie Rosenhaus.
So it's me and Rosenhaus eating the salsa. I can't believe you let Mraz off the hook like that.
Every once in a while, someone has to.
Is that so?
You had him on the hook and we let him off.
I did.
He was wriggling on that hook.
Yeah. We got him other ways. Don't worry about it.
It's a hot candy.
I will bequeath the package to Pete next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.